This is 4:55 on Monday, October 3rd. Yes. So, statistics. The mean was 91, the median was 93. 91 points. Yeah. All in points. The high was 114. The low was, I think, in the 60s somewhere. All in all, I think a pretty good job. And we'll go over the problems here momentarily. Were you sitting there and I didn't see you, or did you just come in?
No, I've been here.
That was a good stunt. I'm sorry. I was looking back there and I didn't see you. So. Okay. Okay. So we'll go over the problems in a second here. Couple of things. I noticed that Isilon is having a tech talk and free pizza at 5:30 in ETRL 101. I ran into John Carlson and 322, and he said Microsoft is doing something similar, but I didn't catch the exact time.
I think
it's at 6:30. Is it 6:30? I don't know.
6:30 and it's
Q114. Yeah. So you can probably have two dinners tonight on somebody else, and both of those should be pretty interesting. I'm hoping to get to the Isilon one, but we'll see. The other one was Microsoft.
Where are they?
In Q114.
6:30.
And we seem to think it's 6:30. There, John said there are posters up, but I couldn't find any.
There's one right outside the Linux user group office, actually.
Ah, okay.
So I know there's at least one there.
And there's probably a poster on the bulletin board up by the elevator at the front of EME building. So. If you're interested, you can find out. Of course, all of this is in a relationship to the recruiting fair, which I think is tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Recruiting fair tomorrow. So if you are a senior and still looking for a job, this is an excellent opportunity to go around and visit with companies and find out what they do. Tell them about yourself. Make sure you have a decent-looking resume to hand them. To get their attention. And if you're a junior, I don't know if there are juniors in this class, but if you are a junior, the career fair is also an opportunity to talk with companies and find out what they're doing and maybe find an internship. And having summer internships is a great thing to have on your resume.
There's one or two companies, when I looked at the list, that are actually here specifically to get interns.
Uh-huh.
So.
Yeah.
So
yes, that's, or if you're going to grad school and want an internship, that's the other possibility.
Do you mind if I say something about Isilon?
No, go ahead.
Just if you enjoyed 360 and 460 subject matter, Isilon wants to talk to you.
Okay.
Why do they want to talk to you?
Because that's what they do.
System-y stuff.
Yeah.
System-y stuff. Network. Oh, and networks too, right? They like networks. So, and Microsoft, you know, Microsoft likes their stuff. Okay, let's talk about the exam. Page one, flow control and congestion control. I think everybody got full credit for that. That was kind of intended to be a gimme question, and it was.
Hooray.
What is question two was calculations about times and things that things take. So the propagation delay is 5,000 kilometers over 250,000 kilometers is 1/50th of a second. 20 milliseconds, 0.02 seconds, all those were good. I think most people got that. Transmission time of a single packet. Okay, so here's where things went a little awry in some cases. The transmission time of a packet is computed by dividing the length of the packet by the bandwidth of the link. So that's 5,000 bits over 5 megabits is 1/1,000th of a second. It has nothing to do with the rate at which you try to send packets on the link, right? The 100 packets per second. That doesn't have anything to do with the transmission time of a single packet. We'll get back to why that's there later. Pick up your exam. Okay. So that was, what did I say, 1 millisecond. Bandwidth delay product for this link. Wow. So the delay in the bandwidth delay product is the propagation time. Okay? Not the propagation time plus the transmission time. But some people didn't even know what a bandwidth delay product was, and I was surprised by that. So what was it? It was, it was 100 kilobits. Hundred kilobits, I think. Which is 0.02 times 5 times 10 to the 6th is 100 kilobits. The bandwidth, it is exactly what it says, right? It's the product of the bandwidth and the propagation delay. So it's 5 times 10 to the 6th times, the propagation delay was 2 times 10 to the minus 2 is 10 times 10 to the 4th equals 1 times 10 to the 5th equals 100 kbits. Notice the units. The bandwidth delay product has units of bits or bytes or something like that. Not seconds. And if I'm being proper, right, I say this is m bit per second, and this is seconds. So you end up with bits on the, well, 5 times, it wasn't m 5 times, it was bits per second. The width in meters of a packet for this link. How do we do that? How about it's the propagation speed, 250 times 10 to the 3rd kilometers per second over what? The transmission time of a packet, which we figured out earlier, which was 1 times 10 to the minus 3rd seconds equals 250 kilometers. I was gentle on you if you gave me the width of a bit instead of the width of a packet, because that was the problem I solved first too, so not realizing that I had asked for the width of a packet.
I thought you were going to only ask questions.
Well, I didn't get stumped on it. I just read it wrong and did the wrong thing, so I was gentle.
I think that might have been for the 365 class that you said something about.
Oh.
Not to ask you this.
You're right, yes. I did say that in there. What is the utilization of the link due to this traffic? Okay. Utilization. So here, people got confused. Quite a number of people got confused. The utilization due to the traffic described in this problem says that we're sending... it says in the problem that we're sending 100 packets per second times... bits what's the units upstairs here then? Bits per second, right? So utilization is a ratio which is unitless, right? So we need to have bits per second downstairs, and the bandwidth is what we're after, actually. So 5 times 10 to the 6th bits per second. Up here we have 5 times 10 to the 5th. Sign over here. Equals 10%. Now, what people got confused about here was that you tried to use the formula for utilization when using a stop and wait protocol, right? But that wasn't what the problem was here. It said what the number of packets per second was going to be. So the stop and wait protocol how would it work? Well, you'd send one packet and then you'd wait for the acknowledgement, and then you'd send the next packet. And that would take, how long would it be before you got the acknowledgement?
At least a round trip time.
It would be a round trip time, and how long would that be? I didn't say. I mean, so we're extending here. This is not part of the problem. This is extending beyond. How long would it be?
2/50. Well, that's what I got.
Okay. Well, it's 20 milliseconds outward, and it's 20 milliseconds back. So it's 40 milliseconds round trip. And that is 25 packets per second. Okay, so stop and wait would have a lower utilization than what we had here, because it would only be sending 25 packets a second, whereas I said in this case we were doing 100 packets a second for whatever reason. I mean, we don't know why it's 100 packets per second. That's just what the problem says. Questions about that? All right. Socket library system calls in the correct order for a server. I think pretty much everybody got this. Modulo leaving out one or two. I didn't take off if you left off close, but close really should be there too. I should know where it fits into the picture. Part 3C, let's see if I remember I don't remember them, so we're going to have to figure it out, or you're going to have to tell me. Just tell me tell me what order they're in. Somebody who got it right.
461-523? Yes.
Okay, was the right thing. And I think when you got it wrong, I marked it, and so you should be able to straighten that out from the explanation there. More gimme questions. What layer of the IP protocol stack is associated with the UDP protocol? Transport layer. Yes? Describe the UDP service model. I was looking for unreliable datagram, error detection was a good thing to have there. Multiplexing would be a good thing, but mostly I was looking for unreliable datagram. Connectionless is a good thing to have there. Protocol sits below TCP in the IP protocol stack is IP, the Internet Protocol itself. What is the name of the layer? It's the network layer. And the network layer above the physical layer is the link layer. I think most people got that. The main thing there is, you know, I don't know what to do when people don't read the question and answer the whole question. You know, that's the painful thing for me. I feel like I've asked the question, most people have answered it, so I have to take off something for not having done the whole problem. But okay, so slow down and read. Okay, question 5. Estimated RTT update is, remember, estimated RTT update is, I said, the multiplier applied to the sample RTT is 0.2, so it's ERTT N plus 1 equals 1 minus alpha times ERTT N plus alpha times sample RTT. Right? So you just gotta work it out. So that's 0.8 times 50 plus 0.2 times 60. That's 40, 52 milliseconds. And then another one is, so that's new sample. And then after the second new sample, we have 0.8 times 50 plus, times 52 now, plus 0.2 times 40, so that's 41.6 plus 8 equals 49.6 and rounds to 50. So we're back where we started from. 50 milliseconds. So most people did well on that, I would say. I can't say the same for the estimated deviation update, which really works pretty much the same way. I don't know what the issue was, but people did well on the first of these and not so well on the second one. So let's do this one. For this one, equals what? It equals 1 minus beta times the previous one plus beta times sample RTT at beta times the absolute value of the sample RTT minus the ERTT. So if you used ERTT N plus 1 there, I didn't gripe, but I probably should have. So this is 0.75 times, what did I say, 20 milliseconds, plus 0.25 times the absolute value of 60 minus 50. It's 15 plus 2.5. And I said you could round off to a whole millisecond even for the intermediate result. So that's, you know, you could use 17.5 or 18 there. And then do it again. So it's 0.75 times 18 plus 0.25 times... The sample RTT now is 40 minus, and it was 52, we figured out before. So that's a quarter of 12 is 3, and 3 quarters of 18 is 14, 13 and a half. You have it written now. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So that's what was being looked for there. Well, let me leave that. Okay, any questions about that? So I didn't want you to, you know, I expect that by the time you're seniors, you can multiply two-digit numbers that represent simple fractions get this, which is why I said you wouldn't need a calculator, but you could have a calculator if you want one. I mean, if you can't do that, then I guess you better have a calculator for these exams. But I also had the feeling that some people with calculators were not spending enough time thinking about the problems, but rather just calculating on the calculators. And that's why I think it's better not to have a calculator. But if you can't do these, I guess you're going to have one. Okay, part C asks, how does fast retransmit improve upon waiting for a timeout? And the main thing that was wrong here was people just wrote down sort of an answer, wrote down a numerical answer without telling me how they got it. And from that, I can't tell, especially when it's wrong. But so, you know, please explain your answer, and then you can get some partial credit at least. Okay, so the timeout value, so it helped even if you just said what the timeout value was, based on the original starting conditions, was what? It's the estimated round trip time plus 4 times the estimated deviation is 130 milliseconds. And you should have got partial credit if you got that. That's the timeout. Now the question is, when, how, so suppose a packet is lost, when does the fast retransmit algorithm retransmit? And we have to think about that a bit. So we're sending along. So that's the situation, right? And we're getting back the axe in this direction. And we're getting back the axe. And what happens? We lose this packet that was sent at time t, let's say. Then when do we get the first duplicate ACK? When do we get the first duplicate ACK? We get it at time here. Let's call that TD. And what is time TD? Well, it's certainly it's a round trip time after this next packet has been sent, right? So that's that's not really a duplicate ACK. It's the same ACK as this one. And then we get the next one and the next one. So, and here is where we retransmit. So how long is that? It's one interpacket interval plus a round trip time plus another interpacket interval plus another interpacket interval. And the interpacket interval is how long? No. That's where this other bit of information in the problem comes in, the very first line. It says it's transmitting a segment every 10 milliseconds. Okay? So the gaps here are 10 milliseconds apart. So the time to till you retransmit is the round trip time plus 3 interpacket intervals equals 50 plus 30 milliseconds. So we retransmit 50 milliseconds faster using fast retransmit than waiting for the timer. Why is it just an estimate? I didn't ask you why it was just an estimate. We're going beyond the question. Why is it an estimate rather than a hard and fast number? Conditions may change. Remember, this is just an estimated round trip time on which we're basing the timeout, as well as an estimated deviation. And that timeout was set here, and we're sort of dependent on conditions that occur in the later packets as well. So it is just an estimate of how much faster. Okay? Yes?
So after TD, where are those other two lines?
These two?
Yeah.
They're coming from the black lines I didn't draw. Right? Which trigger duplicate acts because this one is missing.
So it's after three duplicate acts.
after three duplicate acts, and notice that these are all duplicates of this one that occurred from a packet that came before the one that was lost. So it's three duplicate acts, not three acts of the same packet.
Where did the round trip time come from again?
It's getting confusing, isn't it? The round trip time comes from the fact that you have to wait until you get back the first ACK, the first duplicate ACK, which comes from a packet that sent one interpacket interval after that, and then from there you can infer that the others will be 10 milliseconds apart. Okay? The second question, number five, somebody pointed out, asks about writing code to ensure that we've sent everything that is supposed to be sent. Right? And all right. So, key things that you had to have here, right? The whole point of this is that send may not send everything you ask it to send. And the point of this function was to ensure that everything was sent. It doesn't involve receiving anything. It's just sending. So some people had receiving in here, and I didn't understand. So, excuse me, the idea is that we're going to have a loop to make sure that everything is sent. And so, that suggests that the loop is going to look something like this, right? And therefore we need to have an int or a size t or something, size t total sent. Okay. So that's what we're trying to do.
What size is that, actually?
Size t?
Yeah, I've never used that type before.
It's usually the same as an int.
Okay.
It's just another... C is so complicated.
Yeah. The only other time I ever use underscore t is like when you're trying to do specifically like a 16-bit... or like a 32-bit, you're like unsigned in 32 underscore T, so that way it's 32 bits regardless of whether it's on the 32 or 64
right.
system.
Well, it's the same. Okay, but it's the size of things sent over the network is size T. So it's sort of it's intish. Okay, so. We're going to have a loop. We're going to be sending inside the loop. We're always going to send on the same socket. Give myself some space there. So a lot of people just had this as their system call. And this is not going to work, guys, because what does this do? It always sends the same thing. It always sends data from the buffer, trying to send everything. And the presumption is it's already sent something. So you can't send the same thing that you already sent before again. So we're going to have to adjust the buffer address and the length as we go around the loop. So all right. So probably and now I'm having second thoughts about this. Just get rid of that and change this to len greater than zero. Right? We're going to loop until we've sent everything we wanted to send. And each time we're going to adjust the place that we're starting to send and how much we're trying to send. And then there's one last thing that you got to do. I said you were supposed to return minus one if there was an error, and otherwise we're going to return. This is the problem with len greater than zero. All right, hold len. I forgot about that. Like so. Because we're supposed to return the total amount sent when done. And so if len has become zero, then old len have been sent and all is well. Okay, so I was looking for adjustments somehow, either using indexes or subtraction in the actual send call. I was looking for checking the return code. I was looking for having a loop and using send. So those were the sort of key factors there. I think I said that in your projects you were supposed to do this. So I thought I was asking you to do something here that you had done before or should have done before. Okay. Web page references five objects on the same server as the web page itself. If the round trip time between the browser client and the server is 100 milliseconds, how long does it take from the time the page is requested until it can be fully displayed if the protocol used is HTTP 1.0? Relevant facts. What is the underlying transport protocol for the application protocol HTTP? TCP, right? Not hard, but relevant to answering this question. So, how long does it take to get back the page itself, the directly requested page? It takes 2 round trip times. So that's 200 milliseconds. How long does it take to get each of the referenced objects from that page?
2
round trip times, and there are 5 of them, so that's 1,000 milliseconds. So you add those together, and part A answer is 1.2 seconds. I think there were lots of different ways to approach this wrongly. Many involving forgetting that TCP requires a round trip time to set up the connection plus the round trip time to make the request and get the response there. Oh, one thing that occurred multiple times I should mention and sort of discuss is that with TCP, remember that the first round trip time is not the round trip time to make the request. It's the round trip time to set up the TCP connection. And then you make the request and then you get the answer in one more round trip time. Right? It isn't that you make a request and that somehow takes a round trip time and then you make and then somehow you get the answer and that takes another round trip time. No, it's setting up the TCP connection just without transferring any data at all takes a round trip time. And then you make the request and you get the answer in one more. All right? So 6 round trip, 6 objects, 2 round trip times each is 12 round trip times for part A. When using HTTP 1.0, yes.
So in 1.1 you can actually make all of them in one request, or are they a bunch of requests at the same time?
Yeah, so we'll get to 1.1. So in 1.1, it takes a round trip time to set up the connection, right? Because it's still TCP underneath. It takes a round trip time to get the page, right? And then, because it's pipelined, although there are 5 HTTP requests to be sent, they can be sent one right after the other, right, without waiting for any responses. So it isn't that they get turned into one request, but they can be sent immediately one right after the other. It's because it's pipelined. And so assume that the link is fast enough that the transmission time is negligible, says collapse that to nothing, and you get then what? One to set up the connection, one to request the original page, and one to request all 5 other objects. Okay? So it's 3 round trip times, 300 milliseconds for that. Okay? So, you know, I think all of these questions on this exam are highly relevant and highly usable as recruiting questions. Okay? If you're going to someplace that involves networking, expect to be asked questions like this. I didn't push the envelope here at all with these, as far as I can tell, in terms of when I talk with people about what they really do. This is all sort of stuff that people consider important that you know about how networking works. Okay, and if there's something that was excessively confusing about the way the exam was written, about exam questions, the way exam questions were written, I guess I would appreciate feedback about that. You can send me an email if you think I should have not done something that made it excessively confusing. But the topics and the questions are sort of key things that people will ask about and expect you to know if you go into any kind of job that involves networking. So, any questions or other comments at this point? I think, you know, overall, I think the class did well on this. Just keep it up, do better if you had a low score, but you know, I think people are getting it mostly, and that's a good thing. Okay, well, surprisingly enough, we took the whole time on this, but we'll go on and talk about. Hold on, don't go yet. There's still another question. We'll go on and talk about TCP congestion control next time, so take a look at the book about that. It's a complicated subject. Yeah?
The project was the first thing that we turned in online, so when we get feedback on that, how exactly is that going to come?
You will get email from me with feedback on it. Here's the problem. I realized on Friday afternoon that I had backlogged about 24 hours of grading time between these exams and those projects. And getting through these exams, the 355 exams, I worked all weekend. Yeah, I worked all weekend, so you know, it may be another week or 10 days before the projects and the assignments are done. I'm sorry, it's just.
That's fine. I just didn't.
Yeah. No, I feel really bad about it, but I just can't make more hours in the day. And. an ambitious young man. That would be great. Oh, the other thing I want to say is if you think a mistake was made in grading your exam, just write it on the front and give it back to me today or Wednesday. It does happen that things get added up wrong, or what happened in 355 was that a couple cases I didn't write down a score for a particular subproblem, and so somebody didn't get credit for what they actually had done. So it was right, I just didn't write down the score for it. So take a look for that, and if any of those occur, just let me know and I will fix them. Derek? No, Derek. Okay, great. Thanks a lot, guys. Enjoy the interviews tomorrow.